You're listening to The People Show with Seth, Dan, and Randeep on Sportsnet 650.
People Show presented by Grip Auto and Tire, quality service you can trust, and 14 locations to serve you. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. A lot going on today. Jamie Campbell's going to join us in a couple of minutes on the Blue Jays dropping a series to the Texas Rangers today. But, you know, with the ongoing conversation, you know, the big trade in the NHL today with Kyle Palmieri and Travis Ajak going to the New York Islanders. And, you know, this comes amidst a time where we're talking about the Canucks potentially re-signing Tanner Pearson. Now, there's a lot going on with the Canucks, but does a move like that kind of make you rethink re-signing Tanner Pearson rather than exploring the trade market for a rental that, because of his injury, has avoided the COVID situation around the rest of the team?
I've been on move him for whatever you can and don't sign him to an extension camp for a while. So, I mean, I'm still on that. And does this? I think the one thing this does, it does take away the key guy who had to get moved first. So he's the first domino to fall. When that domino falls, all of a sudden, if somebody was interested in Tanner Pearson, well, now that he's probably moved up on their list a little bit more. So all of a sudden, moving him probably looks a bit more attainable. But because of everything going on with this team and the whole COVID situation and him having a young family, does he even want to go anywhere, even though he doesn't have any protection? So I think the trade stuff gets really complicated with him. But overall, getting Palmieri off the trade block because he's getting moved to the Islanders, I think in theory, that would make it a bit easier to move Tanner Pearson right now.
Well, what do we know about price thus far? It's that Palmieri, Zajac, essentially, and with, you know, 50% salary retained, are worth a first round and some first round pick and some prospects. Now, what does that price, you know, that trickle down factor mean for a Tanner Pearson? And what is that price? I think the Canucks organization, ideally, I'm with you, Sat. If you're in a position to deal him and get something meaningful back, you do it. Now, with what this team has been going through for the last week, that does change things, right? You're dealing with an individual, their family, and is this the circumstance that you want to move somebody if you're not getting a great deal? Like, there's a price for everybody, but given the circumstances surrounding this team, is there internally a thought of, okay, unless we get blown away by an offer, we're not going to be really trading anybody. So what does that mean for a Tanner Pearson? What is that? Is that a fourth round pick? Is that a third round pick? Do you retain salary? Does that turn into something a little bit better? So that's the big question, because I'm not necessarily, you know, people saying, hey, just move him. You're not going to move him for anything. The Canucks are probably looking at it from a personal side of things to say, all right, what's that price? And we're all going to make this move if it hits our price. But the fact of the matter is, you know, what is the market bearing? If you retain salary, we saw what could happen. Now, moving beyond this, though, I just don't know what Tanner Pearson's price is out there compared to other guys that are on the market where on the high end, Taylor Hall. But you have other players like Mikael Granlund and Eric Halla and other types of players that may be on the market depending on what happens in Nashville. So to me, I don't even know what Tanner Pearson's price is. And that's why it's hard to say you got to trade him, because what's he worth? I think that's a tough question to answer right now.
NHL trade deadline coverage is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor with locations across Western Canada. Purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies online at Sherritt.com. Now joining us on the show, Jamie Campbell, Blue Jays on Sportsnet. Thanks for this, Jamie. How are you?
Great to be with you, fellas.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. Everybody's so excited after the opening series win over the Yankees, and then a little bit of disappointment as the Blue Jays drop it to the Texas Rangers today. But it's kind of the offense, and it couples in with the George Springer injury setback news as well. But the offense just hasn't gotten going yet, Jamie.
No, and baseball's a funny game because they ended up taking 2 of 3 against the team that all these so-called experts are selecting to win the American League East, and then go in to face a clearly rebuilding Texas Rangers squad and drop 2 of 3. So go figure this great game, but that's why 162 games is always an intrigue. And you kind of hit it on the head. There was a combination, really, of poor at-bats and good pitching on behalf of the Rangers. I'd hate not to tip my cap to people like Kyle Gibson and the young man who started yesterday, Dane Dunning, and Ian Anderson, who I think is now 36 or 37 years of age, at the back of the bullpen. Ian Kennedy, pardon me. You know, Texas pitched well. The Blue Jays did not hit very well. And Joe Siddle was talking about this after the game was over today. It's a case of there are just too many right-handed hitters, and many of them are in between, meaning they're not exactly committed. The plan isn't as it should be right now, and the timing may not be where they want it to be. The only guy who's really hitting with authority these days is Randall Grichuk, and he had his hitting streak end in the game this afternoon. So that will come around if that's the case. I guess, you know, a 3-3 road trip isn't a bad thing. But, you know, we were hoping that George Springer would be finally added to the lineup tomorrow for their so-called home opener in Dunedin, and now he's been pushed back, and we're not entirely sure just how long that's going to take. It's pretty clear, though, guys, when he is ready to go, he'll be a welcome addition to a lineup that could use a bit of a spark right now.
Yeah, the lineup, at least that help is coming. The big question with the rotation more than anything, and that still necessitates guys getting healthy, Pearson being right and all that stuff. But the question really is, outside of Hyunjin Ryu, how many pitchers do they have they can really rely on to not overly tax that bullpen?
Well, I would say that there are just two at this minute, and that's really only basing it on one performance from Steven Matz. So Ryu, who looked good again today, went seven innings, and Matz, who looked excellent in his first start as a member of the Blue Jays in the opener in Texas, are really the only arms that at this moment they can lean on as starters, clearly based on his performance yesterday. And boy, I was amused to roll through Blue Jays Twitter. There are a lot of people out there who just do not want to see Tanner Roark start another game for this team. And if he was in the first year of a 2-year contract, I'd say, hey, listen, give him some rope. But because we've seen this before from him, and last year was an awful season, I'm not against not having him as part of the rotation from here on in. I'm sure they can find a better option, whether it's Anthony Kay down at the alternate site. Robbie Ray is due to return at some point soon, and maybe Roark's stumble yesterday opens the door for TJ Zoik to at least stay in the rotation until somebody else can take that spot. So we always knew that the rotation was going to be a bit of a question mark when the season began. And a lot of people are aware that, you know, if they had to, they could trade, you know, one of their many very good prospects for starting pitching when the deadline rolls around. But for now, they're just going to have to deal with what they have.
Jamie, and you know, the Blue Jays are in the middle or the starting of 16 games in 16 days. That's a taxing schedule. When you're looking at this roster, what's the biggest question mark for you outside of maybe pitching? Is this basically going to be a look at whether these young guys can handle the grind? Because 16-16, it doesn't sound easy either.
No, it doesn't. But you have to remember that a lot of these young guys have actually been through this before, right? That was a shortened season last year for obvious reasons. COVID really put a hamper on a lot of things. So baseball, you know, reduced their schedule to 60 games. But, you know, these players have been involved in a 162-game season before. I know most of them are 2 years removed from that. But, you know, it's hard to say. It's very difficult for me to say that this will be a difficult time for young players, because they're young players, right? They're probably better suited health wise to play a long drawn out summer than somebody who is near the end of their career. So I personally don't think the length of schedule should be used as any kind of an excuse for players who are as young as Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio and Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
With Vladdy, I mean, a lot of hype with how he's looked so far. What to you just looks different in Vladdy that he's maybe closer to being ready to take that step?
Well, as everybody has seen, he has clearly dropped some weight. It's not my concern how much weight has been dropped, but he is a much, much more athletic human being this year than he was last. That's pretty clear. How that translates on the field, well, he'll be a more athletic defensive player, and he's had a few miscues early on in the season, but he's also made some terrific plays. He made one today, in fact, to get a runner trying to advance second or third. I also have seen, and, you know, luckily I sit beside a guy who knows the game a whole lot better than I do, Joe Siddle, who pointed this out to me. He seems to be a lot quieter at the plate, not sort of leaning in and swinging as wildly as perhaps he has done in the past. And maybe that's a sign that he feels better physically. He's more capable physically. But we'll see. You know, it's going to be fun to watch him over 162 because we all know that the sky's the limit in terms of how good of a hitter he can become in the big leagues. Now that he has dedicated himself to being the superstar so many people think that he can be, it's going to be a whole lot of fun watching him to see if he can reach those kind of heights.
Jamie Campbell, our guest here on Sportsnet 650. Last one for you, as the Blue Jays do come into a long-term extension with Ross Atkins. And I guess we could see this coming with the extension for Shapiro earlier as well. But, you know, just a clear sign that this organization is happy with where they're headed.
And rightly so. You know, it does make sense. If they had taken over a roster full of young, controllable superstars, and for whatever reason that roster was just unable to succeed and make the postseason regularly, I'd say, you know, management needs a bit of a change, a field and upper office, I would suggest. But what they've done here is exactly what they stated they would do when Ross was hired, oh goodness, I guess 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And that was, you know, they came in when the roster was full of aging guys who had put really good careers together, and several of whom will end up on the level of excellence. Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, players like that. Josh Donaldson was nearing sort of the end of his time as a Blue Jay. And what they did is went out and tried to make some savvy moves, draft properly developed players who we are now starting to see come to the major leagues. To me, it would be silly to let a guy go or tell him he's got one more year before changes are coming, because all of those players that they have either acquired or drafted are still coming through the system. I think there's a good blueprint in place here. May as well see it through. And frankly, I'm very confident in both Ross and Mark as men who can get this done.
Jamie, we appreciate the time as always. Going to be a long season. Going to be fun.
It will be long, and I hope it's fun. Guys, thanks for having me on.
There is Jamie Campbell, Blue Jays central host on Sportsnet. And, yes, the hype of the first weekend series and then the down of the ebbs and flows of baseball. But as long as you're beating the Yankees, I'm happy. That's all I'm going to say, Sat.
Oh, is that your playoffs are going to be based on that, beating the Yankees? Come on. Come on. Have higher standards, Dan.
Still beat the Yankees and still be a playoff team. Both exactly. Things can be true.
It was the highlight of the season for the Blue Jays. I stand by that.
We'll see you once your boys stub their toes a little bit.
Yeah, which will happen. I saw Aaron Judge is already going for an MRI. Just yet another day for Aaron Judge and the Yankees. But
keep hating, Reach. Keep hating.
It's going to be a fun race. Honestly, like Yankees, Blue Jays all year long. Give me the rivalry as it continues through the summer. All right, Dan Riccio, Randeep Janda, and Satyar Shah. We are the People's Show here on Sportsnet 650. Always get in on the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Now, a couple of things, like the New York Islanders trade and with the New Jersey Devils, they get Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac, a couple of prospects and a first-round pick, 50% retained by the Devils on both players to make this deal happen. What do we think of the – like, who are the true contenders in the league? We've talked a lot about Colorado, but are the Islanders now, after this deal, are they one of the true Stanley Cup contenders in the league after making this trade?
they're right on that periphery. They were still outside the top contenders, and they're, I mean, I'm not putting them in the same conversation right now as, you know, Tampa or Vegas even, or Colorado. I don't think they're there, but they could beat a team like that now. And it's not that Cal Palmieri on his own, or even Zajac, them on their own take it over, but for a team that has been decent offensively at times, but really good defensively and is getting goaltending, they need just one or two more guys that can score at times. And Palmieri is a guy that in the playoffs, can he score one key goal in a series? And is that really all you need for a team that plays on those fine margins, which the Islanders do? And you know their system and the way they're coached and the way they play, they're going to be in every game. You add a player that could score one or two series, two goals in a series, that can get you through. And the Islanders right now getting that extra player, they're a fun upset pick. Like, the Islanders are a team that you're going to have a fun time picking because they're going to be underdogs a lot, especially against those big teams, but they're a good underdog bet.
I don't have them in the same group as Colorado or Vegas or the Tampa Bay Lightning, who I think, remember, Kucherov's coming back in the playoffs. That's going to elevate that team to probably be the best team in the NHL, at least rival Colorado. But this is a warning shot at the Washington Capitals. They're already level heading into this, right? Before this deal even went down, they were level. They beat them yesterday as well. Now, all of a sudden, if you're talking about the East and who's fighting for that number one seed, I think the Islanders are the favorite here. So they're still in tier two for me. They're not in tier one, but the Capitals, they got to be put on notice here because from a skill perspective, the Washington Capitals, based on what they have with Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Carlson, you name it, they've got some star players there, but the beauty of Barry Trotz is that that structure, that team game, is the strength of his identity, the strength of this team, and they've bought in fully. And we've seen with Barry Trotz, he's had you know, less talented teams, even going back to his days with Nashville, where he can make things happen with a team that maybe isn't that talented. Now you add a Kyle Palmieri to that. Yeah, this is a guy with skill. This is a guy that adds a little bit of scoring punch. So I don't see them as a cup contender, but are they the contender coming out of the East? Yeah, they're going to put some teams on notice, and most notably the Washington Capitals.
What's interesting about this is I think, and I didn't expect this at the beginning of the year, obviously, but I think the three best teams in kind of that Eastern side of the U.S. divisions are in the Central, right? Tampa, Carolina, and maybe even Florida. Florida maybe on the outside. That's a bit of a reach for me, I'll be honest there. But New York now getting into that conversation. And like Washington, they score a ton, but I can totally see that team, you know, one cold streak in the playoffs will hurt them. A lot of they seem to outshoot their metrics quite a bit. And of course, yes, they've got the players to do that with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and those guys. But they definitely overshoot, like, they rely on their lethal shooters a little bit too much, and come playoff time, that can bite you.
Well, and they're a team that's really good on home ice. I mean, they've lost only one game in regulation on home ice, the Islanders have. So if this deal helps them win the division, that just opens things up for them so much. Like, that's a pathway for you in that division to get to the conference final. So that's big for them. I think if they can win the division, it really gives them an advantage in the playoffs to get that far.
Well, their defense is quite leaky, though, right? Like, they're not very good. They're going to outscore their problems, and they rely heavily, heavily on that top six, like most good teams, but that power play. And can you keep that up in the playoffs, especially now that you are not a very good defensive team? You know, their goals against, their goal differential is nothing to be proud of at this point in time. So they're trending towards being a team that has to outscore their problems. And we know teams like that, they may have a difficult time in the playoffs. Generally, you know, with Washington, I'm leaning with them being that team that figures it out in time. But am I worried about that defense? Yeah. If I'm, you know, I had them circled as the number one team in this division, I'm rethinking that based on the fact that the Islanders got that a little bit stronger with Palmieri. But the Washington Capitals, they got to fix that defense before we can really pencil them in as the favorite.
Is that a big price to pay for a first-round pick? Like, did they get value for the first-round pick in this deal, the New York Islanders, Randeep?
I think based on the fact that, you know, they're in win-now mode now. So, yeah, I think if you're going to get a player, especially with salary retention, that's kind of the price you have to pay. And this is a guy that fits perfectly well for their for their team. Like, listen, if the Canucks are making this deal, it's a bad deal because the Canucks are nowhere near that strength of a team being close to the Stanley Cup Finals or the final. The Islanders were there last year. They were not too far away from it. They were playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. So to me, I think it justifies it. Kyle Palmieri is not going to be a point-per-game player. He's not that guy, but he's a solid, solid middle six forward. And the price to get a player like that with the salary retained is going to be a first-round pick, especially if you're trying to go all in like Lou Lamoriello is right now. He's throwing caution to the wind. So I think this deal makes sense for the New York Islanders. Other teams, maybe not so much.
See, the Islanders decided to pay the first instead of taking on money. Right now there's obviously cap considerations and all that sort of stuff, but and not paying the full freight, I think, matters to these teams, right? The Islanders, you know, from an ownership perspective, they're probably looking at this and saying, we'd rather give a bit more asset-wise as opposed to taking on more cash. Like, I totally believe that comes into it as well. Now, there's cap considerations because of where they were at, that this kind of comes into play as well with LTIR, so that does exist with the Islanders, but they're also a team that got a couple of draft picks for Devin Toews. So even so, for next season, they got two. For 2022, they got 2 seconds. They have their first. They still have a second this year, which they got from Colorado. So they're trading a first away, and it's probably a late first-round pick in a year where the draft is already known as not being the greatest draft, especially not a very top-heavy draft. Plus, with all the unknowns and, you know, players not playing a lot and the list maybe having guys fall through the cracks, I don't think the price, as much as it looks really heavy, is really that big of a cost. When you consider salary retention, they got two players, and it's a very late pick in a iffy draft year.
Well, Lou Lamoriello doesn't really care about that. Remember, think back to the Jean-Gabriel Pageau deal, right? He gave up a lot for that player. And if Lou Lamoriello likes a guy, especially, you know, in that middle six and the center position, this is a guy that's willing to pay the price. The Palmieri deal is much cheaper than that. Remember, the Pageau deal was expensive and they signed him to an extension right after that. I actually like this deal, and he might even get more offense out of this New York Islanders team, right? The Devils, they were not good. And he was a half a point per game player there. Maybe on the Islanders, he can provide a bit of an uptick there and give them a little bit more value in that middle six.
Well, and as we talked about, Palmieri is just such a great fit, or in theory is such a great fit for that New York Islanders team and the way that they play. I think one of my takeaways, though, is good luck to Buffalo. You're not getting a first round pick just for Taylor Hall.
So you're
like Kevin Adams. His price just dropped after what this deal went down.
No, but could they do something that would be similar? Like, so you're trading Taylor Hall and another player. Like, could you do Brandon Montour and Taylor Hall? And those two guys together gets you a first?
Yeah. Then that would make more sense.
And, you know, the team I'm watching in that case, because they could use a defenseman and they could use some help on the wings, is the team that, Dan, you didn't include them in your top teams in the Central, but Christian in New West is mentioning, hey, Florida has the second best record in the league. Like, that's a team with cap space, could probably take on some defensive help with the Aaron Ekblad injury and need some help on the wings. And, you know, maybe that Taylor Hall's that guy for them, right? Are they willing to take that next step? Are they willing to add a little bit more salary? And if you retain some salary, yeah, you might have to pay a first round pick to Buffalo to get him. But, like, that's a team that can stomach the cost on both fronts there with Montour and potentially a Taylor Hall.
It is the People's Show. NHL trade deadline is Monday. The New York Islanders acquiring Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac today, making the first big move. So the first domino has fallen. How do other teams respond? That will be interesting, especially with a guy like Taylor Hall, David Savard, maybe Brandon Montour still out there and available. Do the Maple Leafs make a move? What about the other Canadian teams? Does Winnipeg go after a defenseman? We'll be on top of it as the week goes along. It is the People's Show, the People's Choice on Password. We'll get back to that. The vote is incredibly close and only getting closer as we speak. Also, an update on the Masters pool as we get to that tomorrow. Hey, golfers, get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. Plus the jabroni of the day. Lots coming up in the final segment of the People's Show on Sportsnet 650.
Now back to The People Show with Seth, Dan, and Randeep on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Final segment of The People Show here on Sportsnet 650. Unexpected part of the password vote. Doggos, big fans of passwords. And the game show. Swaying the vote. All of the puppy pictures coming from Vicky, the password goat, strong in the campaign of keeping password alive. Sat, I don't know how you're dealing with this. Noted doggo lover, as we all are. Sat
this is
Shaw.
This is like my kryptonite, and you're throwing it at me, and it's just killing me. Like each doggo photo just takes a little bit of my life away from me, and I lose my vigor bit by bit. But I stand firm. I will not change. I have already voted to remove password and to evolve it into the future, to the new chapter of our show, The People Show on Sportsnet 650. So I stand firm, but man, my resolve is being tested.
This that has been sets an up the day. Drama that we're going to see in the first few hours tonight, because this is the interesting thing about the pandemic election.
Great drop. And it's true. God. It's only day one, right, guys? Wednesday. This goes till Friday. There's a lot of time still.
Shouts to Luke, the bartender, friend of the show, friend of Sportsnet 650, who photoshopped my face onto John King and the election and how it's going down. A big votes coming still to be counted at Scott Road in Surrey and on Granville. It's going to be a tight race.
Yeah, man, just the Canby corridor is going to come up big for me.
I got Scott Road on lock. I'm happy with that one. I'm comfortable with that one.
I believe in my area, and I believe they will come out strong. And for those asking for an update on the vote, it's on our Twitter account, our station's Twitter account, at Sportsnet 650. 1,749 votes in so far. Day one of a 3-day election. The no side is holding on with 50.7% of the vote, and the yes side narrowly behind with 49.3%.
Wow.
Too early to call, though. Too early to call.
Way too early.
Yeah, it's.
This is like an election in India. It goes on for like 4 days. Where the mail-in ballots literally are traveling on foot.
I just really hope we don't need a recount or something like that.
Yeah, please. No.
Listen, our system here is completely accurate. I have a lot of faith in our democratic process. I believe that every vote that's been cast has been done so properly. Now, the one question I have, and I saw somebody post this, is there such a thing as buying votes
on
Twitter?
There is some suggestion of it. Mm-hmm. Well, a YouTube video has been posted of how you can purchase Twitter poll votes. Now, I've never seen this video, so I'm not entirely sure of its accuracy or of its legitimacy, so I will not comment any further. But yes, there is already speculation of voter fraud coming in on the password vote, which I believe has been upheld to the highest of standards to this point.
Modern problems require modern solutions.
I certainly hope so, because I do not want to be embroiled in a legal battle here after this vote has been brought to its conclusion. So once that happens, I really do not want to bring the lawyers into this. So
can you imagine the email to Rogers Corporate and be like, hey, guys, can you help us sort this out? I kind of want that meeting.
Oh, man.
Okay, we can agree on this. I know it's been a dramatic day, but nobody wants it to go that direction. We don't want it to go in that direction. We want this to be a fair, democratic process. The will of the people, folks.
There is Kristen Duncan has posted a doggo that is against password. Doggo saying, vote no on password or I'll come kick your ass. So there are some doggos
that... Is that a fair democratic process?
There are some doggos that are against the pass.
I will say this: as much as I appreciate the doggo picks, like you guys are also forcing your doggos into uncomfortable situations here. The doggos don't know what's going on. You're using them, and you're putting them. Like, you are using their likeness for a cause you haven't asked your opinion on.
Come on, you're just scared that the doggos are going to sway the vote. That's what's going on here.
No, what I'm saying is, you guys are using your doggos unfairly, and you're going against the spirit of love for your animal. Your animal should choose yes or no. What you should have done was put two treats, one that says yes and one that says no, and then let the dog decide which one he or she would go to. And that would have been a fair way to determine whether your dog is actually pro-password or anti-password. But you did not ask your dog if they're pro-password or not. So what you are doing is you are projecting their opinion onto us and trying to make us feel bad. I don't think that you are allowing these dogs to vote freely. Free the dogs. I want to free the doggo vote.
This is Sat Shaw being afraid of the doggo swaying the vote, and now he's trying to come up with some fake news kind of argument. I see what's going on here. You're afraid of the doggo. Lack of faith
disturbing. I think Sat, Bic, Cam, and even Josh Elliott Wolf all expected password to be vehemently voted against. And the fact that it's basically 50-50 through day one of voting.
Scaring them.
Strikes the fear of God into those against password.
Silver and black Canuck, I gotta give credit. Texan, every time I win password, my dog gets the treats. Her opinion has not been tainted, and she is a true password supporter. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
That one checks out.
Also, like, silver and black Canuck, pretty elite with the Photoshops. He put password no matter what. A draft day meme last night, which was pretty great. So I can get behind that. Gary on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Guys, how about this? Sat does the one chip challenge, password stays, and Reach gives up the Chara photo.
Dude, what?
Everybody wins.
Who wins? I'm losing twice.
I win.
I'm doing the one chip challenge plus password stays. What am I?
That's a double L's. Also, we don't have anything
we
in
call
there
that
for
a crap sandwich. I'm not eating it.
We don't have anything in that for Randeep. Randeep's got to do something here too. JT saying, how dare you slander the best part of password, the obscure wrestler callouts, and shouts to Jim Duggan, Hacksaw, hey-o! As well.
We're not stopping anyone from having wrestler shoutouts.
Yeah. We're just trying to change it and bring it into the future. That's all.
All right. Torgi, a recount is happening. Password, the vote continues at Sportsnet 650. So we've decided with the Masters pool that I will post the embarrassing times a million photo of myself next to Zdeno Chara from many years ago if all of us finish in the top 10 of my Masters pool. The Masters is starting tomorrow morning, and we're very excited for it. But I will say, Craig McEwen, who lived through the glory days of the sports media business and got to travel, got to cover a lot of incredible sporting events through his career. Our boss, Bic and the Boss, great show from 1 to 3 here on Sports at 650, by the way. But I got to say, this moment...
Bic is very good on that show.
That's true. But I will say, this moment really got me because Craig McEwen, the boss here at Sportsnet 650, he complained about which event he got sent to back in 2003.
But what I don't know that I've ever shared with you or the people for that matter is I was supposed to go back to the Masters the following year, which is important. Why? Well, Mike Weir won. So here I am. I'm slated. Sportsnet's got me tabbed to do back-to-back Masters, and I get to see Tiger's victory. And Mike Weir winning at Northview, the Greater Vancouver Open, his first PGA Championship, was one of the best sporting events and moments I've ever been a part of. So, you know, I knew Weir was playing well, and I'm looking forward to going. And all of a sudden, right at the last moment, I get a U-turn, and I get sent to Puerto Rico to cover the Montreal Expos with, as they the Puerto Ricans called them, Jupi. Yeah, Jupi, you the man, Jupi, you the man. No, it's Jupi, and I'm in Puerto Rico sitting on a patio watching Mike Weir win the Masters, and I'm like, man, I should have been there. Tiger Woods and Mike Weir, that would have been a career capper. But
are you complaining about being in Puerto Rico on a patio? What is happening here? Is this the story?
It is his story. I could have been at the Masters, Augusta again, watching Mike Weir get a green jacket and talking him to him in the Butler. All that great stuff I got to do the year before with Tiger. But there I am in Puerto Rico covering the Expos in a series that no one cares about.
Jabroni of the day. I'm sorry, boss. You are absolutely the jabroni of the day today.
Jabroni. J-A-B-R-O-N-I.
And people say millennials are entitled. This dude is in Puerto Rico on a work assignment, chilling, having the time of his life. And he's sitting there going, oh, you know, I have no interest in being here. This is absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe this. Like I said, you give me a break. How entitled is this?
That's crazy, man. Like, hey, when we're on location back in the day when we could go, and like we'd go to like Abbotsford, Chilliwack, Surrey, anywhere, Richmond, in Vancouver, we'd be like, field trip. This is awesome. The boss is sitting in Puerto Rico and he's pissed off. Come on.
I can't believe I did not get to go to Magnolia Lane this year. I have to suffer here in beautiful Puerto Rico and watch baseball for a few days. Unbelievable. What a travesty.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know if calling out the boss is a good career move, but we have to. That's what we do, right?
Well, they just put this show together. They're not going to scrap it right away.
That's true. Good point.
Well, you know this business. I don't know. We're just kidding.
Forget I said that. Can
Jabroni's
we delete that?
A good thing, boss.
Can we delete that from the record, Josh? By the way, password extra. We're still playing that. We've got prizes this week. Ticket and treat combo passes to Landmark Cinemas up for grabs. Each includes two admissions, two popcorns, and two drinks. Answer this question. What year did Mike Weir win the Masters? Answer that. 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. First one in gets the prize for today. We'll shout you out before the end of the show as well. Let's bring in our next guest. It is Dan O'Connor, Vancouver Giants play-by-play game coming up tonight. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, guys. I want to weigh in on this. I've already voted on Twitter. I am pro-password.
Yes.
And drives to the gym before the season got going. I usually work out around 3 o'clock, so I would time it beautifully so that I would arrive at the gym, I could park the car and listen to Password, and I would send Dom my guesses. He never shouted me out. He never gave me any credit for answering a bunch of them right. That's just typical Dom, I guess. But sorry, Sat, I am Team Password all the way.
I am so disappointed. I am so disappointed, Dan. No, because we have history, man. Like we went
do.
To the same school together. Like we're talking about almost 20 years ago here.
I know, man. It pains me to do it, but you know what? Dan and Randeep, I got you guys. I got you.
You're a good man, Dan.
A vote for Password is a vote for the people. That's the way Dan O'Connor sees it here on The People's Show. Trent Miner, he's on some kind of heater, eh?
You know what, guys? He sure is. It has been quite something to watch, and unfortunately, we're going to have to wait a little while longer to see him back in the net. He won't go tonight. Drew Sim will get the start in goal, but all signs pointing to Trent Miner being back in the net Saturday when the Giants play at home, in quotations, against the Prince George Cougars. But, I mean, three straight shutouts is remarkably impressive. He's closing in on some franchise milestones. And bottom line, he's been a huge factor in the reason why the Vancouver Giants have won four straight games and are tied for the best record in the BC division.
What do we expect to see from Drew Sim? I mean, the kid is 18. It's his draft-eligible year, but he doesn't have a lot of experience in the WHL, only a couple of games last year, only a couple of games, so far this season. What is his ultimate upside, you think? And what do we need to find out about this kid?
Well, those are great questions, Sad. And Drew Sim is a high draft pick. I mean, he was the second goalie taken in the Bantam draft during his draft year back in 2019. So there's an athlete there. There's a player there. What the Vancouver Giants need to figure out and what, you know, Drew ultimately has kind of been tasked with is, you know, when it comes to next season, when he's 18, can he be a goalie that in a normal 68-game season, can he get 40 starts? Can he get 45 starts and turn in solid performances? I think all of the signs are there. I think all of the ability is there. But, you know, no different from a goaltender at the pro level, and it takes some time. Drew Sim at 17, you know what, he's going to have his ups, he's going to have his downs, but one thing I can, you know, confirm for you guys is he's got some pretty good guys to learn from when you think about David Tendick last season, Trent Miner this season, and goaltending coach Paul Fricker, he just does incredible work with these goalies. So, I think the ceiling is really high for Drew Sim. I think he can absolutely be a player that the Giants will look at as a key component to their future success.
Well, Justin Sirtoff is a guy that we've been focusing on the last couple of years, a third-round pick of the Florida Panthers this past offseason. How's his game trending? I know he's had a bit of a hot start to the season, but just his overall game, what are you seeing from Justin?
He's been the best player on the ice, I think, in the BC Division hub so far. And I know it sounds blunt and it sounds a bit direct, but I firmly believe that to be the case. Statistically, he's showing it, but guys, you notice him for the right reasons every single game. I mean, he's always had the ability to finish, but he's got 9 assists. So he's the straw that is stirring the drink on that line. And that's no disrespect whatsoever to Tristan Nielsen or Adam Hall, who are both having great seasons in their own right. But you know what? You talk to his teammates and you watch him play. He's involved, and I just think that there's a maturity there with Justin. It's really starting to click for him. And when it comes to, you know, again, playing for an NHL contract and playing to prove some doubters wrong, you know, many had Justin sort of pegged as a slam dunk for round two in the draft. Some maybe even thought he was a first-round talent. So for him to go to the third round, 87th overall, I know was a disappointment for many. I think the Florida Panthers are going to make out like a bandit for getting Justin Sortif in round three. He's been that good this season.
Giants Royals coming up at the top of the clock. Dan O'Connor with the call right here on your home of the Giants, Sportsnet 650. Thanks for this, Dan.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the rest of your nights.
Yes, and thanks for upholding the democratic process with your vote of yes for password to continue. The vote will stay up for the next couple of days. And as a parting shot, I do want to say it was nice to hear from teammates Mike Halford and Jason Brough this morning on the morning show and their support of my master's pool. They gave me more support than either of you two did. Right. And I can't believe my new teammates left me out to dry like that.
Do you have the audio of this?
No, we don't.
We don't.
But it wasn't a glowing endorsement.
I got to hear this audio. I got to hear this audio, this glowing endorsement you speak of.
And also, Dan, I'm not your new teammate. I've been lighting you up for the last 2 years plus. Yeah. So this isn't brand for me. Come on.
That's fair.
I'm consistent, at least.
Password Extra, our winner today. Jeffro, you've got in first on the question. What year did Mike Weir win the Masters? 2003 is correct. And boss Craig McEwen, jabroni of the year, got to go to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico that year instead of the Masters. But we will have your Masters round one update through tomorrow. Keep joining the pool. We're almost up to 80 people now, 80 contestants. And maybe, just maybe, I will have to release that Zdeno Chara photo. Although I hope not. I swear, if you guys all come up with the greatest Masters teams of all time, I will probably lose it. But we're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. It's the People's Show. For Satyar Shah, for Randeep Janda, Josh Elliott, Wolf, Cam Barrett, Bick Nizar, I'm Dan Riccio. We are the People. We are the People's Show here on Sportsnet 650.